This is the Wintrust Business Lunch at 1210. Pete Zimmerman's the producer. I'm John Williams. I hope you know the phone number. If you don't, learn this one, 312-981-7200. You've got a question or a comment for Terry Savage, our Wednesday guest. Now's the time to call or text, 312-981-7200, the nationally syndicated financial columnist and the author of The Savage Truth on Money, terrysavage.com. She's in our studio. Terry, nice to see you.
It is so much fun. We're, you know, the studio is sort of socially distanced. We're at least 6 feet apart.
Just
the way
are.
The desk works. I'm so glad to see, you know, you in person, though.
And you walked in squirting everything you saw as you went.
With my sanitizer, yes.
So I think we can safely have this conversation.
All right.
Let's just talk about the, we've been spending a lot of time this morning talking about the debate, and I don't want to get into the politics with you, but I did want to get into anything you heard on the financial side that jumped out at you last night.
Well, you know, we should really ask the stock market what it thought of the debate. And since I would say the debate was ugly for starters, there seems to be pretty general agreement on that these are our choices for president of the United States, no matter what you think. The debate itself was a pretty ugly event. And the stock market, however, is up 500 points today. And I think what the market is telling you, aside from hopes for a deal, is that it doesn't matter too much. Because Biden, I think, generally people said, did better than expected. He certainly held his own, and all those stories about him not being with it or not having the stamina, that was not an issue. So the fact that Biden came on stronger than expected maybe would have said, oh, no, the market will crash because Biden plans to raise taxes, and everybody knows taxes are bad for business, and Biden came out and said the corporate tax rate will go up to 28%. And then investors would think, oh, my gosh, he's certainly going after the capital gains tax rate. That'll go up, so we better sell our stocks now before they do that. So you would have thought that the market would be down. Why is the stock market up? Two reasons. One, a little bit is the hopes, but that came after the opening, the hopes for some kind of a stimulus plan. And the second might just be that the market doesn't think Biden is all that terrible, given the alternative. I've been texting with a lot of smart money friends, and they've said, you know, don't get ahead of yourself, Terry. I don't think there's going to be a big stock market sell-off after Biden wins, if he wins, just because of higher taxes, because he could start a spending program. You know, he could actually put more jobs and stimulus into the economy. That's something else he talked about.
Is it possible that the president isn't as important as what the Fed does, what the interest rates are, how easy money is right now?
It's not just the president. It's Congress. And the possibility, you know, maybe a long shot, that you'd have a Democratic-controlled House, Senate, and president leads you to think about what they might do with that kind of control and how much spending they might do and how they would redirect it. They've already talked about initially $3 trillion. Well, when you put that kind of new money with the cooperation of the Fed, who said we're going to make it available, I don't know if that would happen under the next administration, you get the potential for a lot of stimulus. And that wouldn't be so bad for stocks. So part of it is, will they come up with a stimulus plan like this afternoon to get money to real people who really do need it? And part of it is, maybe Biden wouldn't be so bad for the market after all.
What do you hear about the salvation of the airline industry? Something has to happen today, right?
I think that's some of the pressure for this announcement or for this meeting today. The airline industry is just
Steve Mnuchin, Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi and Steve Mnuchin meeting like in the next little bit, because the airline industry is not onesie-twosie. It's a very big, massive layoff. And I think that puts a little bit of pressure on the Republican side of the aisle to maybe come up with, as part of a stimulus announcement, some kind of an extension of something for the airlines.
Do you have an idea what that is? I mean, maybe just another round of what they did the first time?
I don't think they have time to get too creative. I think it's a please don't lay them off, because if you don't pay them, we'll have to pay them kind of a deal. And that's where I think the pressure is coming for the Republicans to come to the table, because it would be a pretty sorry thing to happen a month before an election.
It's already a sorry thing,
so visibly sorry.
Yeah,
you know, in July I said, surely they'll do they go back
on
vacation.
Yes, you did, Terry Savage. Or on the run-up to the election, they would certainly get it done before the vote.
How could both parties, I mean, not just one party, both parties resist buying your vote, and they have resisted it.
Terry Savage is in the studio, and you're on the phone. Gary, you're on WGN. Go ahead. What's your question?
Yes, I had a question about I filed my taxes in February and have not even received any kind of notification why they haven't paid that back. I didn't receive a stimulus check, and I just want to know if there's a place to contact people so I can find out about these things.
There is, but don't be surprised. First of all, let's sort these out. Your taxes must have been you were waiting for a refund, right?
Yes.
Okay. The IRS told me, I talked to that guy, I've been on this, that they were going to get these all done in September. Excuse me, what day is today? Yes. Well, they have till this afternoon. but they are paying, they are sending out those refunds with interest going back to April 15th. So it should come soon. But if you just go to, I can't give this to you over the phone, but if you just Google IRS, where's my refund? They have a page, and you can check on your refund. But you probably sent a paper return in just as they shut down, and they were starting to get out refunds early, and then they sent everybody home. And your refund, because it came in just then, is probably on the bottom of the literal pile to get your refund. You said you didn't get a stimulus check, though.
No.
Did you qualify based on income? Did you file a joint return or a single return in 2018?
No, I did not file that in 2018. I filed in 2019.
Okay, but what did you file in 2018? That's the first place they looked.
I put in a,
I'll tell you what I want you to do. You sound like you're computer savvy. Go to terrysavage.com and click on the Ask Terry button and send me a message. Easy to type in. Say, I talked to you on radio. Here's what I filed in 2018. Here's what I filed in 2019. The point of this is for everyone else. The first thing the IRS did was cross Social Security numbers with everybody who filed in 2018. If you did not file in 2018, then they looked at you in 2019, but they might have seen that you were either over the limit, which doesn't sound likely, but they might have just written you off. Now, if you filed in 2019 and you still haven't gotten your stimulus payment, but you did file, then next year in April, when you file your 2020 return, you can claim a credit for that stimulus amount.
Thanks for the phone call, Gary, and good luck to you on that. TerrySavage.com. You know, you've said stuff like that before to our listeners for various reasons, that in time these things will be sorted out. Do you have confidence in that, that in generally in ensuing tax years or eventually?
Can I draw a line down the middle of the paper? When it comes to the federal government and your stimulus, I absolutely am convinced it will get sorted out. Time is money for people who are waiting for refunds to pay mortgages or to pay life insurance premiums or whatever else it is. I'm absolutely confident that the government will get this sorted out, and it may take till next spring if under those circumstances. And by the way, well, let me just add right here, time is really money. If you know someone who was older or had a very low income and didn't file a tax return because they didn't earn enough and was not a dependent like your mother or your older children that are on your tax return, if they were not a dependent and didn't file, there's a form. Go to terrysavage.com and just look under the most recent columns. You have until October 15th to be, if you're a non-filer, to sign up for your stimulus check. They're reaching out to 9 million people fall in that category. Let me just say one other thing. Remember I said draw a line down the middle of the paper? On the other side, put the state of Illinois.
Yeah.
And while my confidence level is like 98%, the federal government will get this sorted out, 98.8. On Illinois, I'm really worried. I'm worried for the people that never got their money originally. I'm worried about the fact that during those months they were supposed to get the additional $600, that they might not get that. I'm really worried about this extra $300 supposed to go to everybody who gets over $100 a week in benefits. But if you aren't getting it, I'm worried that the money will be gone and the state is so messed up it doesn't know how to figure it out. And I'm really worried about people whose tax, whose unemployment was fraudulently directed to someone else and who get a tax form in January.
A lot of people called us last week, though, and said they were getting the $300. Some of them already got the $1,800.
Yes, that's wonderful. Everybody should have gotten $1,800 that qualified. 6 weeks of $300 was part of this plan that the federal government found some extra money. But first of all, it wasn't a lot, but every little bit helps. But if you did not get it, and you, I just don't know that the state will ever get back to you with that. I doubt that.
Diane, you're on WGN with Terry Savage, 312-981-7200. What can we do for you, Diane?
Hi, Terry. Hi, John. My question is, my daughter was working for her company and got transferred in October of 2019 to Florida. And come March of 2020, she got furloughed from the job. And she filed for unemployment in Florida because she figured she was living there. And she got some money from Florida, but now she called Illinois and they said that she has to file in Illinois and rescind the one from Florida. So she's confused on what to do. And every time she calls, she gets put on hold for an hour and a half, and they still don't have any answers for her.
Let me ask a question. Why? She got money from Florida, and she got it last spring, and she got the extra $600 a week from Florida?
Yes.
Okay.
But just partial. She only got partial. They haven't paid her the full amount. So.
Okay. She needs to deal with Florida. If the Illinois is so beyond messed up that that's a ridiculous answer. It's astounding she even talked to anybody. But because she filed in Florida, she needs to deal with the Florida Unemployment Office, which, by the way, their system was set up by Deloitte, the same people that had $12 million contract to set up the Illinois new system. And Florida's equally a mess, but I used to have a number because I had a friend in Florida that gave it to me. Post that question at terrysavage.com. Let me see if I can get to that friend who has a number for unemployment in Florida,
wow.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
And let me see if I could get her a number she can call in Florida, but just forget about Illinois.
Diane, I'm sorry to hear that, and good luck. Thanks for the call. Hey, Terry Savage, 2 days ago I got a call back from IDES and was able to get updated for my PUA. If you phone, you have to wait some days, several days, weeks. I think they're overwhelmed, but they were very helpful when they called.
That is the callback system. Now, in the middle of a huge blizzard a few years ago, I was scheduled on a flight out. It must have been United, I suppose. I was accumulating miles there. And it said, our lines are overwhelmed. Leave your number and we'll call you back. And you know what? They called me back. It took about a half hour. They were really jammed. Planes were being diverted all over the country. They called me back. And about a half, maybe it was an hour and a half. All I can tell you is they must have had zillions of callers all at once across the country, and they got their system up and running. We've now had 8 months of unemployment claims in Illinois, and their callback, if it comes, could be a week, 2 weeks. And, yeah, if you get someone knowledgeable, great, congratulations. How about all the people that are calling and have still not gotten benefits or had questions answered or able to recertify? I mean, United's not so busy. I sent an email aimed at the governor. I don't know if he ever got it. I said, why don't you pick up the phone? United's not real busy. They've got a headquarters here. Have them borrow their callback system. Nobody's going anywhere, practically.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got a system.
Yeah. We've gone down this road so many times. We'll pause here. But I'm amazed and still angry that the governor or whoever's in charge of IDES does not do a coronavirus-type press conference where they take questions from the press, and it's on TV every Thursday at noon or something. Wouldn't that be a great service?
Well, you mean about unemployment?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I have begged for that. I could show you a dozen emails. The chief spokesperson, Rebecca Sisco, has not appeared publicly since she appeared on our studio one day early on talking about the upcoming PUA benefits website. She did that on a Friday, and it was starting on Monday, and she promised that's the last time she's responded to one of my emails. All my friends in the media are having the same trouble. The spokesperson isn't speaking. The new head, we've had a new head, Kristen Walker, I think it is. How would I not know her name since August 1st? She hasn't made an appearance, the new head of IDES.
Really?
They're hiding.
We'll pause. Don't you hide. 312-981-7200. Colleen, you're on WGN. How can we help you today? You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I retired recently from the Postal Service, and I have a thrift savings plan that was worth $332,000 as of December of 2019. I don't know what I should do with it. Should I just leave it in the TSP because I can and draw part of it out for my retirement, or should I pull it out and convert it into something better?
The one thing you don't want to do is pull it out. Colleen, can I ask on the air how old you are?
61.
61. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. You're going to have years to let that grow. And the Postal Service Thrift Savings Plan is a good place, and you need some growth, so they have some good options. Your only other option is not to pull it out, because you want to keep that growing tax deferred as long as possible, would be to roll it over to not into the greedy hands of some financial person who wants to rip you off and charge commissions and sell you an annuity, but to a place like Fidelity or Vanguard, where you'd have a wide choice and you could easily get, 50% in the Standard & Poor 500 index and 30% in an equity income fund and some in a money market fund likely. But because there's never been a 20-year period where you lost money in a diversified portfolio of U.S. stocks with dividends reinvested, like the S&P 500 fund, and you've got a 30-year time horizon, you want to let that keep growing. So take a look at what your choices are inside the plan. Do not pull it out. And when you're 72, which is like a long, long time from now, then you'll start being required to pull some out. But don't just pull it out, and don't just take anyone's advice. I put something new up at terrysavage.com. I forgot. I should have mentioned
this. This just in.
Just a few days ago. People ask me all the time, where do I go for a financial advisor? And I've always been reluctant and hesitant. I know a few that I really like in the Chicago area and around the country. But I've always, in the last year or two, since Pam Kruger, my fellow podcaster at FriendsTalkMoney.org, created something called WealthRamp, WealthRamp.com. And that is a matching site like Match.com for fiduciary. They promise in writing to put your interests ahead of their own, fee only, no commissions, no hidden fees and commissions and ongoing charges, financial planners, people, in other words, you can trust. And she's vetted them all personally. So for the first time ever, top right, I gave up one of those boxes. I think the box was the have Terry speak at your event, because nobody's having any events anymore. And it says, start here to find a financial planner you can trust. And that's the Wealth Ramp questionnaire. I've never, ever done a link to something recommended, but I know that at least you'll be well taken care of. So if you need a financial planner, and you might, Colleen.
What's that page? What's that site?
Well, go to terrysavage.com and click on the box called Find a Financial Planner. It takes you right there. Or you go to wealthramp.com. I get nothing out of this. I get no ego or no money or no anything out of it. But it's a place, wealthramp.com, or one of the boxes in the top right corner of terrysavage.com will take you there. Because at 62, for instance, for Colleen, perfect time to think about, Colleen, you should be working. Find another job, assuming COVID goes by, and start earning some more money and start putting more away in your own Roth IRA, for example, so that when you really want to stop working at 72, you'll have even more money. And nobody's saying you have to, be running around sorting mail or carrying letters or doing whatever you do at the post office, but every extra money that you can earn now in these next 10 years is going to leverage itself up and let you keep your retirement fund growing.
No charge for that, Colleen. I'm glad you called. Hi, Terry. IDES has not put any money on the debit card they sent me when I filed for unemployment in June. Even though I've tried to certify many times and call many times, the only response I get on login is login
was... You
cannot
certify at this time.
Well, in this case, it says login was successful. Okay, now what? Any ideas on that?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I badmouth IDES so much that I can't even get through to them myself. There's a savage truth for you.
I wonder why.
I've been so upset publicly. They always sent out debit cards before they adjudicated. So the idea initially, in fact, that came from Rebecca Sisko on our air here. She said, yeah, that's the way we do it. This is back in April. We send out the cards so that you'll get that money right away. That was before all the fraudulent cards and everything else. Post on my blog, terrysavage.com, say, I don't have it in there anymore, but I've been working diligently. I'm going to send out a blast here through our air. If anybody who has a friend who is working in the unemployment system that would give me a direct line, it would allow me to help so many of these people who post, and I will never get your friend at IDES in trouble, but I need to get back in there. And they found out the number I was using to get in. I gave it to a few people who had bad problems, and they were solved. And so they closed that down.
Help us out if you can. She'll help a lot of people.
Yeah, you can email me, Terry at terrysavage.com, or just post it on the Ask Terry blog and say, my sister works there. She said, if you don't get her in trouble and don't cost her job, which I won't, here's a number you can use. That's what I need.
Hey, Gloria, you're on WGN.
Yes, hi, Terry. How are you? I was calling because I heard on the news that there was a refinancing fee for people who wanted to refinance, a fee of $1,400. I want to know if you know anything about that.
Who told you that? A refinancing fee?
Yeah, I heard it on the news. It was a news item.
No. You might have been thinking about the Illinois Housing Development Authority program for mortgage help, and you could get $15,000. Look, if you have a, do you have a mortgage now?
Yes.
What's the interest rate?
5%.
Well, that's
it's a 40-year term.
Okay, so that means you're going to be paying on that mortgage for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If assuming your house is still worth what it was, you might get a mortgage rate that's down in the 3.5% range, which would save you a little bit of money every month. There is not a fee. They're usually built into the cost of the rate of the refinance. And here, I'll give another plug. Go to guaranteedrate.com or contact my buddy there, Leslie Struthers. It's leslie@rate.com. She's at Guaranteed Rate. And she's helped a lot of people refinance, but you're not in a terrible position, and you definitely don't want to pay money up front to refinance.
And $1,400 is some new law that's been
passed.
That's
not a law.
That's
nothing.
That's not true. Good to hear. Good luck. Thanks for the call. 1243. Last batch calls and advice from Terry Savage. TerrySavage.com is her site. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. This is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The digital media company Conversant has put its Loop headquarters up for sublease. The COVID-19 pandemic is to blame as companies unload real estate. The company is offering up its entire 106,000-square-foot home office at 101 North Wacker Drive. Crane says it's the second-largest block to hit the sublease market in Chicago. Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas is warning of a troubling trend ahead of the Cook County property tax deadline tomorrow. She says more than $1 billion in property taxes are still owed, and more than half of that is owed by businesses. Pappas says that's likely because tenants of commercial properties have either failed to pay rent or have moved out. And ShipBob, the e-commerce logistics and shipping company, says it's raised $68 million in a Series D round of funding. Chicago Inno reports ShipBob currently has 10 fulfillment centers across the U.S., Canada, and Europe, and expects to open 2 more U.S. facilities later this year and 10 other facilities across North America, Europe, Asia, and Australia next year. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Chris, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My husband received an email from the IDES stating that he's changed his banking information, which is not the case. My husband filed for unemployment probably 20 years ago. We've been retired for a while, and all of a sudden we get this, and what should we do? I know that they said to call.
Hold on.
Wait, I'm gonna make it real simple. Go online, go to terrysavage.com. You will see, scroll on the left on columns, you'll see identity theft update. Do this now.
This is
identity theft. Someone has used your husband's information and lots of other people's too to claim unemployment benefits, probably under the PUA program. They put money in a bank account, and then you're going to get a tax bill next January of 1099 saying you pay taxes on these unemployment benefits you receive. So I have a cheat sheet of everything you must do, including how to contact the FBI, which you must do right away, how to get your credit report, and look for the bank, any bank inquiry. That's the bank they probably used. Bank accounts don't show up on your credit report, but inquiries do, and a bank where they opened an account in your name would have made an inquiry. Contact that bank. Tell them you've been a victim of identity theft. Contact IDES. All of that is in the identity theft update article with links to all the places you need to go. Don't be intimidated by the fact that you're going to report it. In a lot of places, you need to keep documentation. So next year when they say, pay taxes on this unemployment money you got, you could say, hey, I reported it. I took a screenshot. I even show you how to
take a screenshot.
Can you
freeze it in advance so nobody gets it and there's no 1099
form? No, you can't get through to IDES to do anything to find the time of day. So you have to report this. And there is a button, report fraud. You need to take a screenshot that on September 30th, you tried to report that you got a letter from them. But whether they get around to responding is another issue.
Okay, Chris.
Okay, about 2 months ago, we froze all of our credits.
Good for you. That's good. But unfortunately, bank inquiries are not opening new credits. So if Joe the fraudster said, okay, Chris Smith, I'm going to claim my identity theft unemployment benefits and got through and got money transferred to a debit card and then changed it to a new bank account at XYZ Bank, you would never know about that until you got this auto letter from IDES saying, oh, we just want to notify you this.
Chris, good luck. Thank you, and thanks for that advice. Terry, how about Steve? You're on WGN. What are we going to be able to do for you, Steve?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. So I left a 401k at a former employer in 2014. When I left employment, I had about a $6,700 loan balance left. It's since been 6 years, and I talked to my current administrator, where I have a 401k, about rolling that over. He's telling me that I have to pay off the loan before they could roll that over. It's a loan fund, it's called, and it's worked its way up to about $8,700 because of the interest incurred over the last 6 years.
Well, you're lucky because most plans say that if you leave the employment with a loan in place, it's deemed income to you, and you would have declared it in taxes in 2014 or 15. Yes, you must. First of all, do not try and roll it over into your new plan because this is going to be a mess that's going to haunt you, and it's going to compromise your new plan. What you want to tell your old employer is, oops, I forgot about that loan. I'm going to pay it off, and then you're going to roll it to Fidelity or Vanguard. You cannot pay it off by taking more money as a loan out of the plan. You have to have the money outside the plan to pay off the loan.
So in the category, it does show that the loan was deemed, but it's still showing it in a loan fund as a balance. So I guess I'm a little confused on that.
The terminology doesn't matter. But first of all, don't mess it up with your current 401k plan. Second of all, talk to that plan sponsor or the records keeper from your old company and say, what do I have to do? And by the way, at that moment, I think they might report it as income anyway. Ask them what they're going
to
do about that, because most companies report it as income when you leave.
I'm glad you called. Ladies and gentlemen, we have 60 seconds left. Bob, you're on the air. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Okay, real quick. I saved a lot of money in a 529. It actually got up to, before I had to pay the tuition for my kids, up to $600,000. So sure enough, I have one of them that goes into a military academy. The other one decides to go.
So you don't need that money for tuition. So what about that?
Okay. Yeah, what do I do with
okay.
this?
Okay, number one, you can save it for your grandchildren if they ever have them. Okay? You can leave that money growing in there. If you take it out, you'll pay a 10% penalty plus ordinary income taxes on all the gains.
Academic expenses?
It has to be used. If you have a niece or a nephew, anybody in the immediate family,
still,
you can use to pay the tuition.
You want
the money back. You have to pay ordinary income taxes on the gains and a 10% penalty.
I'm sorry to hear that. Thanks for the phone call.
That's the worst problem I've heard today. Somebody's got too much money. And good for him for saving all that money for college. And congrats on the kids. And by the way, one of them might want to go to grad school, Bob, so don't pull it all out.
TerrySavage.com. Her book is The Savage Truth on Money. Nice to see you, Terry. Thanks for coming in.
So glad to be here.